Well, good morning, everyone. It's lovely to see you and to be here. And I went to a Georgian Banoff conference once, and it was the most amazingly ridiculous thing I've ever been at in my life. He is, what is he? He's not Russian, he's something else, isn't he? He's sort of Bulgarian, that's what he is. He's Bulgarian, and he plays the fiddle like a madman. But somehow, God just seems to use it as a way of kind of connecting with people, and it brings great joy. And so if you need a little bit of joy in your life, I would strongly encourage you to go and to experience the delights of Georgian Banoff and all his things that are happening next weekend. So it really will be a great time, and so I want to encourage you to kind of be part of that if you can. If you've got your Bibles with you, then let's open the words, and we're going to read together from Luke's Gospel, and we're reading from Luke chapter 8, and then from verse 40 to 48. I think that the words are behind me, so if you don't have a Bible with you, then you can use the big one at the front here, but it would be good to, if you do have your Bible with you, then it's always good to have it with you. It's good to be able to kind of sort of feel it, see it, experience it, so that you can mark it. I don't know about you, I can't find anything on my electric Bible, you know, because actually I can't. But if I've got my actual Bible, then I know where the words are in the page. Do any of you have that experience? You know what that's like? And you've got, maybe you've marked them and you've kind of like, you've got a, you know, I really encourage you. I know that we're moving digital, and I know that's a good reason for us doing that. I know that it's a lot easier to bring your phone rather than it is to bring your Bible. But I really want to encourage you, if you have a Bible, bring it with you, because actually sometimes God will just speak to you and then you can underline that point and you'll remember it better if you actually have that with you. I have to say, that's true, except I've just printed mine off. But that's because of the fact that it's because of the fact that my Bible is so huge. I bought a Bible for big, large print Bible, okay? And it's enormous. It's so big. I can hardly even carry the blinking thing. You know the kind of like the angry, the classic picture of the preacher with a big Bible under his arm. You know, I'd have to have a trolley or something like that. You know, little kind of like one of these things. You know, a bag that you have a trolley in. You know, anyway, never mind. So it's just yeah, okay. Anyway, let's read this story. So Jesus raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. This is a story of the woman who touches the hem of his robe in the midst of the crowd. So, now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, the synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowd almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. When they all denied, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." White Inch is a place of healing. Point is a place of healing. As a church, we have experienced some of the most incredible touches of God on people's lives. We have testimony after testimony after testimony of his goodness and kindness and of his healing for each and every one of us. We've had folks who have come and they've said things like, I've been part of church for many, many years, and I'm so broken, but I came here and I was put back together again. A number of people have said that to us again and again. Yes, thank you, Brian. One or two saying, yes, that's me. Our testimony. These are our testimonies. I was broken, but now I was healed. This is a place of healing. Healing which is physical, healing which is emotional, healing which is spiritual, healing, which is it encompasses every aspect of our life. We've had amazing stories from the folks from Healing in the Heart, you know, just stories of people who have come with mental health issues, which have been years and years and years of suffering, where the medics have just been helping them to cope, and they've found freedom. And the medics have said, you know, we were just helping them to cope, but you actually helped to heal them. You know, and we've had stories of people who have literally come in wheelchairs to the healing rooms. I remember, you know, the ways in which we prayed for folks, and Glenn, you know, the folks that were praying for them in the healing rooms, and they came in a wheelchair, and they came back. It wasn't immediate, but they came back a month later to sort of tell us a story about how actually they walked for the first time in years, that they were able to move and get out of their house and do all sorts of things. God has done amazing things here, okay? And I want more. I want more. I want the fullness of everything that God has got available for us. I want everything that Jesus died for on the cross. I want it all. And it's available to us all. And we want to press into that. We want that. We long for that. That's what the child of healing thing is all about. But I want to say that I have questions. I have questions. So here are my questions. My questions are, why did John McIntosh Brown die? Why did Martin Bridges die? Why are there people in this room that I love? Why are there people here who have continued to suffer for years? Why? We honor honesty and reality in this church. We don't want there to be just a woohoo, let's do this, but no reality. When in actual fact we have questions, it is okay to have questions. All right, it's okay to have questions. It's okay to have doubts. It's okay to ask questions. And I have questions. I live with these questions. We have, as a church, we have charged forward. In our nation, we have charged forward as a church for healing. We have stuck at it. We have dug in. We have invested. We have trained. We have persevered. We have done everything. We have just pressed in and pressed in and pressed in and pressed in. But there is pain in that. There is a cost in that. And today I want to talk about how do we overcome that, those times when actually the cost feels as though it's too much. And what it does is it causes us instead to step back. How do we overcome fear? How do we overcome disappointment? How do we overcome those times when we just feel just completely that we become offended by God's inactivity? Because that's what it feels like. Do these questions make sense to you? Do they resonate with you? Because they resonate with me. These are the things that I wrestle with as I come to speak about healing today, as I come to say I want all of it, God. Because it causes me to get into the Word. It causes me to press in. Because questions aren't the problem. Questions and doubts aren't the issue. That's not the issue. The question is, where does it lead you to? Because it can lead you to unbelief. It can lead you to doubt. It can lead you to pulling back rather than causing you to press in. And today Jesus is here amongst us and actually wants to answer our questions in as much as he can. He knows the answers to all our questions. But, you know, and I'm going to just share some of the things that I've been thinking about. But I want to start by saying this is, there's such a profound calling on us as a church to spearhead the breakthrough for healing for the church in Scotland. There really is. That's part of why, that is what this means. That is why we're called the Child of Healing, because we are meant to be the spearhead. We're meant to shove through and break the ground that nobody else is going to take. That's why we're here. That's why we come back to this. So that's why we are saying these things are absolutely fundamental to us. They're absolutely foundational to us. But listen, we do that knowing that they come at a cost. And we want to be honest about that. We want to be real about that. We want to understand what it is to become wounded healers, to follow the one who is a wounded healer. So I want to talk about the question that that Stephen touched on last week. Just he talked about the phrase, God is not the author of disease. That's the first kind of place that I think that many of us kind of go to. You know, I've heard people say, God gave me this cancer so that I would learn how to da-da-da-da-da-da. I've heard people say that. I've heard people say, you know, that God caused that tsunami. God did this. God did the acts of God, the insurance companies tell us. Acts of God. You know, planes falling from the sky, all this. And I want to just say that I absolutely do not believe that that is what's happening in this world. You know, so when we think about this thing of, you know, where does disease and infirmity come from? Where does all that come? It comes from the brokenness that came about as a result of the fall of man. It comes because of the fact that the scriptures are very clear. Genesis tells us God created the world and it was good. All of it was good. There was nothing wrong with it. It was perfect. There was nothing broken in it. And then rebellion against God happened. And then we see the consequences of the fall. We see the brokenness of society. We see the brokenness in relationship. We see the brokenness in disease. We see the kind of the consequences. If you cannot see by looking at the news this week that it is humanity's fault that we are destroying our planet and causing floods and droughts and tsunamis and earthquakes and all sorts of things as a result of the activity that we have brought about, then you don't understand what's going on. If you cannot hear the stuff that is being pumped out from America in terms of the news that's coming from, and understand that much of the calamity which we are facing as a world is actually being caused by the inability of people to be able to see the goodness in each other and to actually look for the goodness in each other. We can see that. Where does badness, where does all this stuff come from? It does not come from God. God did not give anybody cancer. God did not cause any tsunamis to happen. God did not cause airplanes to fall out of the sky. That is a consequence of the fall. That is a consequence of the brokenness of society. It was never meant to be like that. In the beginning, God created the world, and it was good. There was nothing evil about it. And so now, what we're facing, what we're dealing with, is the consequences of the brokenness of our world. So the question then you begin to ask is, okay, well, maybe God didn't cause it, but God could step in. When we see the broken, when we see the suffering of children, when we see the oppression, when we hear the stories about these girls that were abused and down south, by these men that are now getting locked up. You know, why did God not step in? And, that, you know, these are the questions we're asking. Why did God not step in? Is it because he couldn't or he wouldn't? And I think the answer is it's because he has chosen to limit himself. He's chosen to hold himself back. It's not that he couldn't have. He's perfectly capable of doing that. But he's stepped back. And he stepped back for a very simple reason. And the simple reason is this, that if he kept on coming in and stopping things from happening, stopping the consequences of our actions actually coming to pass, then what would happen is that we would have no free will. We would not be free to be able to do anything. We would just be, we'd become like robots. We'd become automatrons. We would become those who basically, you know, we could do this, but actually it wouldn't make any difference because actually our decisions, our actions weren't real. And God has chosen to limit himself and to step back to give a period of time for us to hear his invitation to come to know him, to love him, and to receive him. But in the midst of the suffering, where is God? Right there beside us. What we perhaps don't perceive is this. I love one of the bits of the kind of the inner healing stuff that they do. They talk about they take you through an experience that's perhaps hurt you a great deal, and one of the questions they'll ask you is, "Where was Jesus? Where was Jesus?" And actually, Each time I've gone through that, each time I've reflected on one of those painful experiences that I've been struggling with, I immediately can see that he was right there. Sometimes carrying me, sometimes, you know, just weeping beside me. Because he is with us. He's not abandoned us in our suffering. He's not abandoned anyone in their suffering. He's right there with us. And although I, in one sense, when I look at the kind of, you know, the terrible things that happen to other folks, and, you know, I would want them to be changed, you know, actually, he has given us this period of time until he comes again, until he comes in his glory, and he says, enough, when there will be no more tears, and there will be no more sickness and disease and death, he will say, enough. But between now and then, he has given us this chance to act and to decide and to behave and to do the things. And therefore, God has limited his participation. And he has held himself back. And so what we see is here's a very important thing, I think, for us to understand. It is that God has perfect will. His perfect will is that actually all of us would know his full blessing on his life, on our lives. His perfect will is that all of us would experience healing when we're sick. His perfect will would be that all of us would know his goodness when we are struggling. That's his perfect will. But what we see in the story of Job an example of his permissive will, where what happens is that God doesn't want something to happen to Job, but the enemy comes in, because there is an enemy that comes against our souls, and he comes in, causes destruction and devastation in our lives. And Lord gives permission for that. He steps back and he allows things to happen. Not that he originated it, not that he wanted it, but that actually he allows that to happen in that time. And I think as I think about suffering in our lives, and I think about some of these deep, deep questions, and why has this happened, and why has that happened, and, you know, it comforts me to know that you know, when John died just not that long ago, when Martin died not long ago, that was not God's perfect will. That was not his intention. That was not his plan. That was not his plan. That was not his plan that they would die. That was not his intention. He didn't want that to happen. That was not what would have been his perfect will. But he allowed it to happen because of the brokenness in society, and because he will bring all things and reconcile all things together as we move through. And although it is still painful at times, and although I do struggle at times, I am able to say, well, I believe that actually your perfect will would have been that they would have saved. They would have been saved. They would have been healed. They would have been able to kind of be with us today. And I think as we understand these things, I think that what happens is this, that actually we see, you know, God is not the origin of any evil, not the origin of any sickness. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus died and took all sickness and disease. There is nothing left for God to give. So it's not from him. He is capable of stepping in, but has chosen to limit himself. And he will do so only for a season. Only for a season. And we long for that day to come when Jesus comes again in glory. We long for his second coming. We look for that to come. We believe that that is what's going to happen. And we recognize that in the midst of that, God has allowed things to happen. Not that he wanted them. They didn't come from him, weren't originated from him. And all of that helps me anyway to be able to kind of somehow find a way through some of those difficult questions. They don't answer all of them. I'm not saying that they do. But these things help me anyway. So this is God's perfect will. God's perfect will is that all of heaven and all that Jesus died on the cross to achieve, all of heaven would be released onto earth through God's people. That's God's perfect will. That is what he intends for us to do and to be. And that's what we are all about. That's what we're trying to do. Bill Johnson talks about the fact that the only thing that we cannot claim is our resurrection body. That's the only thing we cannot claim in terms of releasing heaven onto earth. Everything else is available for us today. Every other aspect of healing, every other aspect of personal transformation, all of that kind of stuff, everything is available to us today. And actually, what we're trying to do is we're trying to position ourselves in terms of our thinking, our understanding, and our activity as not just individuals, but as Stephen said last week, collectively, together, we are saying, this is what we believe, this is what we're going after, and this is where we're going to position ourselves as a church. That's how we're going to see new levels of release and healing. That's how we're going to see these things happening. Because we are not going to stand passively by it and watch the enemy kill people, which is what he does. We're not going to be passive. We're not going to wait. We're not going to kind of hold back. But here's the thing that I really feel that, you know, when I was thinking about today and I was praying about today, here's the thing that I really kind of felt that God wanted to do amongst us. And it's to do with this woman. It's to do with the woman. It's how do we overcome and turn away from, repent of fear and disappointment and offense in God and unbelief? Because let me tell you, that woman had everything of those things in her life, or could have had. 12 years of unceasing bleeding. She was, as a result of that, an outcast. An outcast from her family, an outcast from her community, an outcast from her church. She wouldn't have been allowed to go to synagogue. She wouldn't have been allowed to go to temple. She wouldn't have been allowed to participate in any of these things. She wouldn't have been allowed to approach a man. She wouldn't have been allowed to approach, in particular, a rabbi. She certainly shouldn't have been touching anybody, because by touching, she would have actually conferred her uncleanness to somebody else. She had no means of supporting herself, because they would have put her out of the family. She had every reason to be angry, disappointed, you know, upset, all that with God. And yet, what do we find? We find somebody who, when they see Jesus, realizes that all of that stuff just falls away, and she steps in again, and she reaches out and touches the hem of his cloak, because she knows that one touch from the king changes everything. And so she presses in. So in fear of what? Fear for us, fear of failure, fear of the enemy, fear of man, fear of failures, you know, that actually, you know, we'll lay our hands on people and they won't be healed. So we don't do it. We don't want to feel like we failed. But actually, you know, that's not how God sees it. But, you know, fear of the enemy. We don't want to get involved in a spiritual warfare. We don't want to get all that kind of stirred up. So we'll just leave that to the others, and we'll kind of just quietly go on our way. Fear of man is probably the biggest one. What will people think if we start sort of saying, you know, in our church we pray for healing and we see people healed? You know, some of them will get excited about it, but lots of them will kind of go, what a bunch of weirdos you are. How bizarre, how strange is that? What kind of church do you go to anyway? Is it a cult? And then you go, no, it's the Church of Scotland, actually. It's funny when that actually kind of is useful. It's virtually never, but on that occasion. Anyway, so the fact is that those are the questions that I know that I deal with. You know, if I'm asking questions, if I'm being real, then I want to sort of say, I know that I fear. I know that fear is an issue that stops me. It can become a barrier to me being able to do these things. And yet, here was this woman. Here was this woman who should have feared the circumstances, who should have feared the people about her, because there were significant consequences to her if she'd been caught. But actually, there she was. Courage was facing the fear and doing it anyway. And that's what she did. She was courageous, bold, and actually stepped in. Here's one of the things that stops us. Disappointment's probably one of the most significant ones, though. Disappointment is where we tried and it didn't work, and we don't want to do it again because it's too painful. It costs us too much emotionally, spiritually, and relationally sometimes. And so what happens is actually we become less bold, more risk-averse. We protect ourselves. We hold ourselves back. We kind of, you know, when there's anybody, you know that thing about getting people to volunteer and actually everyone takes a step back and leaves one guy there. That's what we do. We kind of take the step back. In fact, we take quite a few steps back. You know, we just go back and back and back. And that's what disappointment does to us. Disappointment that actually, you know, that it didn't happen the way that we thought it was going to happen in the past. But listen, how many doctors would that woman have had to been to in 12 years? You know, it talks about the fact that, that no one could heal her. She'd obviously tried everything that she could try. She tried and she tried and she tried. She'd probably spent all of the money that she had. She'd certainly experienced shame and embarrassment and endured all sorts of things. And again, if she in that situation wasn't going to let the disappointment of 12 years of trying and not seeing it happen stop her, then I ask the question, why? And I think that the answer is because she saw Jesus. I think that she saw that actually, she saw who he was. She kind of got him. She realized this is the real deal. And I think one of the ways that we overcome disappointment is we actually just need to see Jesus again for who he really is. And actually, in doing so, we step into it and take hold of it. The woman didn't allow disappointment to stop her. Nor did she allow offense to stop her. Offense is where we say, why didn't God do that? Why did God let Martin die? Why did God let John die? Why are there some precious people here who continue to suffer, you know, week after week, day after day, hour in, hour out? All that, you know, why is that? And actually what happens is those questions lead us to a place where we think we know better than God. And we become offended because God doesn't answer in the way that we think that he should. And it gets us to the place where actually we go, well, if that's what you're going to be, I don't want to have anything more to do with you. And that's what causes us to stop. It causes us to struggle with these things. It leads to unbelief. It leads to that place where actually what happens is we get to the place where basically we kind of go, yes, I turn up and I come to church because, you know, I'm part of church and this is what I do. But actually, in our it's not real. You know, it's like, it's just a thing that we do. It's not actually what we believe. It's not actually how we live. But that woman didn't let offense fill her heart. She, of all the people who could have been offended, had every right to be offended. The things that were said to her, the names that she was called, the ways in which she was treated, both by the people around about her, her family, her community, and listen, by God as well. It was the laws of God, as they were produced in that time, that were the reason why she was ostracized. Of course she would have been offended, but she did not allow her heart to go to offense. She didn't harden her heart. And so as a result of that, she leant in and she took hold. So what does it mean for us to become a community of wounded healers who recognize the cost, who understand that actually it's not easy, it's not straightforward, there are some difficult questions. How do we become that community? Well, I think that part of it is that we recognize that actually there are some legitimate questions that we are struggling with that we may still need to struggle more with. And I'm not suggesting in any way by saying what I've said that I will have answered all of your questions. I know that that's not true. But some of them I will have answered. Some of them I'll have helped you to think in a different way. And I want you to kind of... And so for some of us, as we step forward, actually, we're carrying something of our questions with us. And we're willing, even with our questions, to say, I am willing to lean in again and to take a hold again. For others of us, it is actually a case of needing to deal with some issues of our heart. So where we've allowed fear and disappointment, where we've allowed that sense of offense to come into our hearts. The only way that we can deal with that is actually to recognize it and to repent of it, to turn away from it and to say, I'm sorry, God, I know that's not what I intend to do. That's not what your intention is for me. I just want to say one other word about suffering. Suffering has a place in the purposes of God in our life. Okay? Suffering is not an accident, it's not a mistake. It wasn't from him. again. It wasn't from him. But God can use periods of suffering to bring about the most incredible transformation in our lives and in the lives of the people about us. But that shouldn't stop us from leaning in and reaching out and touching the hem again. The reason why we've been spending our time on the foundations, these foundation stones, is because we believe that God actually is wanting to jettison us, to catapult us into a new level of anointing and gifting. We really do believe that. That's the reason why we're teaching on it. That's the reason why we're going back to these things. And I want to say today that I am absolutely committed to this. Even with my questions and even with my struggles, I want to say today, I choose today to receive the fullness of what God has to do in this place. I want everything from heaven to land here on earth in this place amongst us. That's what I want, and I'm committed to doing that. And I want you to know that. And I want you to know that that's where we stand as well as leaders in the church. We want this. We want all of this. And we don't want to just talk about it. We want it to happen. So what we're going to do is I'm going to invite you, just to take a moment or two, just to have a rethink about things. And what I want to do is I want to invite you to respond to what I've been saying. It might be it's a response in terms of, I've had all these questions and I don't really know how to answer them. God, help me with these questions. And even if you have still some doubts, that's okay. Or it may be that you have to deal with the fact that actually there is fear, there is disappointment, there has been unbelief, there is a kind of challenge around the whole thing of kind of being disappointed with and offended by God. But I want us to reaffirm our commitment to being a place of healing again today. And I want you to do that in a very simple way, which might seem a bit strange, but we're going to do it anyway. I want you to stand up where you are, and I want you to come forward, and I want us to just fill this space here. And in doing so, I'm not going to ask you to say anything or do anything, but what I'm going to do is, it's going to be a sign that says, we're in this, and we're going after this. Even with the pain, and even with the cost, even with some of the doubts, even with some of the questions, we're not turning back, and we're looking for the fullness of it. Now, I know that some of you are visiting with us today, and excuse us for kind of doing this, and there's a number of other folks around, that's fine. We're not expecting you to come forward. But if you're part of this church, and you feel that this is something you want to do, or even if you're not part of the church, but you just feel, actually, God's really speaking to me about this, then I'd like to encourage you to do that. And as I say, it's a very simple thing, and as we gather, we're just going to gather, and then I'll pray, and then we'll take it from there. Is everyone clear? So let's take one more second just of quiet before the Lord. So if you want to go again, if you're ready for the next stage, if you are willing to be a wounded healer, come now and be part of this. Of course. Hold on a second, I've got the microphone. I've got the microphone. I've got the handheld. Where's Stephen gone? Stephen? Where have you gone? I've got the microphone.
I'm going to read a bit from Isaiah 50. Where, it just it answers the question, what to do when you don't know what to do. So some of you perhaps struggling with some of the stuff that Alan spoke about questions. I'll just read this. Who among you fears or respects the Lord and listens to his servant? Who among you walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him lean on his God. And sometimes, in the midst of darkness, trusting in God may be the last thing you want to do. Then we think about who God is. It says in the Psalms, our trust is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So it's not some vague thing, but trusting in the one who made all things, who made us. He knows. He knows. And then the New Testament, the Thessalonians, it says, he who calls you is faithful. He is faithful. And he will do it. Whatever it is, trust him, he will do it.
So I think, do we have a video? Can we play the video? So there's a song, and the words I think are appropriate. If you'd like to sing them, you can sing them, and if you don't, you can just watch.
Surrender in our hearts. Faithfulness is our reward. We still believe. Still believe. And all the journey has been hard. We'll confess the goodness of still believe.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And so, Lord God, as we stand here as one people, and as we say that, Lord God, we are ready to go again, Lord, you know our brokenness, you know our weakness, you know our frailty, you know at times our confusion and our doubt, but Lord God, even as we are, we come and we say, if you can take us, if you can use us, we are willing, Lord. We are willing, and we say once more, we give our yes to you again. We say yes. We do not want to hold back. We don't want to wait any longer, Lord God, to see more of your power released in this place, more of your goodness released in the lives of the people that we know and that we love, and we know that they need you. But without, Lord, us positioning ourselves to receive the fullness of heaven's reward, Lord, how can we expect them to experience these things? And so, Lord God, we give ourselves once more as a church. We say, we believe, Lord God. We are looking for your kingdom to come. We are believing for you to release greater signs of the kingdom of God amongst us. We are longing, Lord God, even now for healing to break out in new measures. And so, Lord God, as we stand before you, we ask, Lord God, particularly for those who have been suffering a long time with illness, we ask, Lord God, for a release of your miraculous healing power. Even today, Lord God, we come out, and it's almost as we've come out, Lord God, we have reached out and we have touched the hem of your robe. Because Jesus, we know that you can do it. And so, Lord God, we're reaching out and we're touching again and we're saying yes, Lord, again, even in our brokenness, even with the pain that it causes us, even in the difficulties that it has, Lord, we say yes. We know that we are wounded healers, but that's what we're willing to be, Lord God, because we know that you can use us. We know that in our brokenness, you can use us. It's not when we're perfect. It's not when we're whole. It's not when we've made it. It's not when we're holy. It's not when we've done any of these things. It's when we are willing, Lord God. You take us and use us. And so, Lord God, we give ourselves once more. We say, yes, we are a place, a child of healing, Lord God. And we ask, Lord God, that you would release your supernatural power to heal today. And Lord, we pray, we ask, Lord God, that there would be a release, a wave of healings poured out as a blessing upon those who we know and love and come across in these days to come. That, Lord God, that the healing power of Jesus would be released at a greater level amongst us than we've ever experienced it, Lord God. That what we have experienced up to now would be the ceiling, and that we'd reach out into the, and we would launch off it into a new level, Lord God. It would be the floor, Lord, darling. It would be the floor. And we would launch off it, Lord, into the new things. And so, Lord God, we're asking for you to do that. It would be as it was when you walked the earth, may it also be for us. So that when we walk through a room and somebody touches us, the power will go out from us and they will be healed. And we'll know because you have done it. And so, Lord God, we're asking for that. And we're committing ourselves to that now. And we're saying yes to you, Lord God. We're saying yes, we are willing. We give our yes to you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord God, we receive that, not just simply as a blessing to you and a blessing to us, but we receive it, Lord God, as a symbol that it will be to other nations, to other tongues, to other places, that you will pour this out. Lord God, there is a well of healing and miracles in this place, and we want it to pour from this place and to touch every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every nation, Lord God. Let it come. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you go and have a seat? Thank you.
I haven't been around for a few months, but we've had sort of problems. I've been in and out of hospital and different things, and I've had every kind of scan that you can think of. But they sent me originally to the breast clinic because they discovered a lump in my breast. It showed up, I'm assuming, on the CT scan and the MRI scan, but they didn't tell me. So I turned up at the clinic not knowing why I was there, but this was why I was there. But they sent me... for their own scan, a mammogram and a testament, and I couldn't find it. And I believe that the week before I had got prayer and I saw myself cough up this thing that looked almost like a walnut, but there was no trace. The other scans all showed this lump, but I believe that God healed it. So I don't have anything, and he's going to heal all the other stuff too.
That's it. Okay, the presence of God is here to heal the sick, and the presence of God is here in his power, and Helen's just going to testify what happened as she came forward.
As I came forward, I've had a few strokes years ago, but just recently I had another one, and I was left with no power in my three fingers, and my power's just come back today.
God, Jesus, hallelujah.
Amen. That's great. I'd like to collect some strollers like that for people who don't need them anymore. We're going for that as well. Listen, I don't think there's anything else that we need to do just now. I think that actually the Lord's been here and he's been here with us. I'd love, if you do have something that's wrong, if you have like a sickness or disease and an infirmity that you'd like us to pray for, we'd love to spend some time just praying for people. So the ministry team are going to come forward, leadership team are going to come forward and just pray for people. And maybe we could have some music on as well, Gordon. That'd be great. But our time basically is finished. Other than that, please do help yourself to coffees and teas. Enjoy the time of fellowship afterwards. Father, we thank you for what you're doing amongst us. We know that there is so much more. We're looking for the more, Lord God. We thank you for the way Helen's hand. We thank you for the healing from Maureen. We thank you, Lord God, for these signs that you are on the move. And Lord, we're looking for more. Release the fullness of the kingdom of God, everything from heaven, let it come on earth for your glory. For we ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like prayer for healing, just come to the front and we'll pray for you.